Companies that prioritize sustainability often experience a range of benefits, including reduced costs, higher brand value, increased access to capital, and talent retention, among others. The Sage Sustainable 50 is an annual list of the most sustainable companies in the U.S. bond market, based on the Sage ESG Leaf Score methodology. I'm Jessica McHugh, and today we're talking with Emma Harper, Senior Research Analyst. So Emma and I have been at Sage for, what is it, almost 6 years?
Yeah.
And this is the fifth year that you've put together this list. I was going to ask you, is it true that you lead the effort to score, from a sustainability perspective, 1,500 fixed income issuers in the Barclays aggregate?
So the way that we do the analysis is we have a corporate side analysis and we have a securitized analysis. And for our corporate side, we take into account the U.S. aggregate bond index as well as a U.S. high yield index that brings in corporate names from both investment grade and high yield universe. And through those two indexes, we shake out with about 1,500 issuers that are scored every quarter on our Leaf score system here at Sage. So
wow, that sounds like an undertaking.
It's definitely an effort, but has been going on for many years now, and has really become pretty comprehensive in terms of the analysis on the corporate end of things. So
you're doing this list on a quarterly basis,
mm-hmm.
and then once a year, Sage publishes the top 50 issuers mm-hmm. from this list. And you mentioned in the report using artificial intelligence for the first time in creating this list, which I want to talk about in a minute because everybody's talking about using AI to make our work more efficient. But first, let's talk about what's on the list. So this list that you put together is the most sustainable companies that issue bonds. What types of companies are on this list?
No, they really come from a wide range of various industries and sectors. We have some concentrations, obviously, within certain industries that are more prevalent on the list, one being insurance companies. Insurance companies make up about 12% of the companies on this list. So it's a good number, and they actually come from different areas. They're not all from the US, they're not all from Europe, so there's no heavy regional bias. The next biggest industries that these companies come from are software and banks, but one of the actually interesting things about the banks on the list is that they do come from Europe, all of the banks on the list.
I see. What is it about the banking industry in Europe?
Yeah. So there tends to be a lot more regulation, at least right now in Europe, surrounding sustainability practices. We highlighted some of this in the report, but there's robust regulatory frameworks, and they're constantly being reworked and built upon and added to. So regulators are really taking this kind of information seriously. They want to make sure the sustainability information that's coming from companies, being reported from companies, is factual, transparent, comparable. So there's been a lot of regulation to support those practices of reporting. And so I think that alone has been enough to drive the focus towards sustainability in Europe, specifically in the banking sector, as opposed to United States, where this isn't regulated quite yet. We haven't really built around, you know, what the regulations are going to be in terms of climate disclosures. We haven't actually put it in place yet. So, companies are doing what they're doing. They are reporting to different frameworks. And a lot of them are giving good transparent information, but it really hasn't been codified the same way as it has in Europe at this point.
So there's a lot of similarities among the companies on the list. One is their credit ratings, and you noted this in the highlights for the report. So for the most part, these companies are rated investment grade by Moody's and S&P, but then sometimes ESG ratings and credit ratings, they diverge. Could you tell us a little bit about why a company might rate highly in terms of sustainability, but then have a below investment grade credit rating?
Yeah, I would say a lot of the credit rating decisions, from what we've seen, have to do with kind of the capital structure of the company, how much debt there is, how much leverage there is in the cap structure. And so that can have a very large effect on the credit rating, versus when we're looking at the sustainability factors, we're looking at the financial and material factors that are important to every industry, and how they're performing on those. And a good example that we highlighted was Iron Mountain. They're considered a sustainability outperformer. They do really well in their financial and material sustainability factors. We highlighted certain factors that have to do with the data and information security that they have to undertake, given their business model. They have a really strong program. Their business ethics and their compliance measures are pretty strong. Their working conditions are fair and safe. So they are high performance from a sustainability perspective, but they are fairly highly levered. They've taken on a lot of projects that have required a significant amount of cash, and so therefore they have a good amount of debt on their balance sheet. Although we do think that it's, you know, a well-positioned company to be able to pay down the debt, they are rated as below investment grade due to the amount of debt that they have in their structures.
Okay, so let's go back to this idea about artificial intelligence. This is the first year that you've incorporated AI into your analysis of putting together this list. What type of AI did you use and what were the advantages?
We used an AI system that allowed us to pull in pertinent information to sustainability or business risks. So it was a screen where we were able to look at companies' responsible business risk or their sustainability risks or opportunities that have happened within the last 90 days. And so that was the most important part. Oftentimes, ESG ratings are somewhat criticized for being backward-looking, not having the most up-to-date information other than controversy analysis. And so we wanted to take that and say, okay, what's happening right now with these companies, either from a positive or negative perspective.
The benefit of using this AI is that you got more real-time, up-to-date data to inform who would be on this list. Did having this information influence who made the cut?
It actually did, because we had a number of sustainability leaders that are from different industries, and we wanted to see, okay, if we were going to narrow it down to just the top 50, we have a few more than that. And we need to see, okay, are there some in this list where there's something that's happening that's not really on the positive side of the ledger? And we did see that on a couple of them, namely Clorox and Johnson Controls. These were two companies that are considered sustainability leaders within their industry. They do well in comparison to their peers on their different financial material factors, but both of them suffered a pretty large-scale cyber attack in recent times that affected their reporting on their earnings statements. It affected their supply chain and being able to get their supplies out to, you know, the stores, and so it did affect their actual operations in their company.
Got it. So using the AI helped reveal some incidences.
Yeah. Technology helped to reveal other technology vulnerabilities.
There
yes.
There you go.
Yes.
And so are you going to start using the AI in your scoring quarterly of the 1500?
We're always looking at any sort of technology or any sort of information that can help us get an even deeper look into the analysis and the companies that we're looking at on a quarterly basis. So yes, there's possibilities for adding in, you know, technology along the way. We've added in different pieces of information, different sources of information as we've evolved with our scoring system. And so this is something that we are constantly taking a look at and evolving. And so, yes, I would say technology and availability of technology, including AI systems, is something that we're incorporating and will continue to evolve and incorporate as we go along.
So, Emma, is there anything else you'd like to highlight in this report that we didn't talk about?
You know, we look at a lot of risk. We look at downside protection. We look at mitigation of these risks often in our analysis. But it's always nice to see the positive side of the stories, the opportunities, the things that are happening, you know, that are exciting. I highlighted some of those in the report in terms of a couple of the companies that are doing really cool things with hydrogen or low carbon steel or even human capital initiatives like the reskilling kind of initiative that I talked about in the report from Workday. But one that I didn't get to talk about that I thought was really nice was from Colgate. They actually were doing a smile shame campaign where they were...
Smile shame.
Yes. Yeah, so there's parts of the world where there is, unfortunately, smile shame, where people are ashamed to smile because they're embarrassed of maybe how their teeth look or their smile looks. And so Colgate wanted to engage those customers or those stakeholders out there in the community who were experiencing smile shame and are still experiencing smile shame. And so this was really focused on the Asian Pacific area. And this is an area where there tends to be, I guess, a greater amount of smile shame. And so they were doing a program where through AI, they were able to take people's smiles on social media and actually highlight them on like an image of the packaging of Colgate. And it would be their actual smile, their actual teeth in the smile. And people were excited and it made them actually smile. And so it was kind of a heartwarming campaign.
Yeah,
and something that,
I love that
is not just now, but they're looking to continue this campaign over a number of years.
Well, thank you, Emma, for joining us today. The report is called the Sage Sustainable 50 and it's out today. For more information, visit sageadvisory.com. Sage Advisory Services is a registered investment advisor that provides investment management services for a variety of institutions and high net worth individuals. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice or an offer or solicitation with respect to the purchase or sale of any security, strategy, or investment product. Investors should make their own decisions on investment strategies based on their specific investment objectives and financial circumstances. All investments contain risk and may lose value. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. For additional information on Sage and its investment management services, please view our website at www.sageadvisory.com or refer to our Form ADV, which is available upon request by calling 512-327-5530.